Here's a little something you may remember from the good old days.
I feel so old.
You're old.
You're so old.
You're so old.
So old.
You're so old.
You're old.
Ha ha! You're old.
Thanksgiving week, glad you're spending a little portion of it with the Senior Moments crew. Brian Sexton, along with senior writer John Osier. Joe Fortunato is wandering about the cavernous studio somewhere, hopefully not aimlessly, as he gets us through each and every Wednesday. John, the Jaguars in Arizona this week, they take the best defense in football west this Sunday afternoon to play the Cardinals. And, you know, people go, yeah, they're good. Maybe they're really good. You think maybe they're great?
Well, yeah. I mean, and I don't know all the comparisons with the 85 Bears and the 2000 Ravens, and you're starting to hear that stuff.
Well, they're not going to get there in points, by the way. I looked that up this week. I mean, they've already given up 141, and both of those teams were in the low 160s. They're not going to set the points record.
Right.
And that's kind of where the great defenses are judged.
Yeah, but you can get in a conversation that includes the Denver defense a couple years ago, the Seattle defense when it was going, the Eagles defense.
So the best in,
recent
memory.
Yeah, I mean, there's a group that carries it and gets it there that you have a chance to be discussed if you get to the postseason.
Right.
That's going to be the topic of why. And it's interesting. You hear that, and then you hear all the questions about, well, but what about they got lucky on Sunday, what are they going to do in the off season about the quarterback position? As a fan, and as somebody who, if you're a fan of this team, you love the game, right?
Yeah, I think
well,
so.
And if you're a fan of this team, what you're looking for is, you know, a lifetime of fan memories. Well, it may not get better than this as far as watching a defense play for this team ever.
It's the best defense they've ever had.
Right.
So, I don't care if they don't match up statistically against the 99 team. Right, and they're really close. I think 99's right. Ahead in a couple of areas. But 99 had a terrific offense that staked them to a lead and allowed them to
and
tee off.
That team, you watch that team every play. I watched that team 18 games. It never felt as suffocating on defense as this. There was some, you know, it just didn't. It didn't have the pass rush, not on this level. It didn't scare opponents. This is getting to a point now where in the second half of games, you know the other team's not going to function. And with that 99 team, and I'm not going to denigrate it because there were some great players, great people on that team.
Three guys had more than 10 sacks. That was a special year.
But during that season, I don't remember a feeling of, boy, this is a play where the defense might score. You know, and when you watch the great defenses, those are the things you start thinking. I've never covered a team where I've thought that about it. And now all of a sudden on the Fowler, not the Fowler play, but the Telvin Smith play the other day, you thought, it might be sack fumble here. And you're starting to expect that, and that's rare for a defense to get there. So I guess what I'm saying is don't look ahead so much that you miss the fact that this defense has, knock on Formica, has nobody hurt. You always wonder when you have a really good functioning unit, there's usually something where it's like, well, this is great, but boy, if you had a free safety, or boy, if you had a cover corner, if you had a second cover corner, if you had a pass rusher, after adding Marcell Dareus, now this is a unit where you don't have to think, what if they had X, how good they would be. This is it.
They're complete.
This is how good you can be.
Let's talk about a couple of guys. And by the way, there's another first-round pick who just came off injured reserve, Calvin Pryor, who probably won't see the lineup because they don't need him, but he's a terrific talent. We'll see if he ever has to play if he can play as well.
You wonder.
18th pick of the first round a few years ago by the Jets and fell out of favor there and in Cleveland. Talk about a couple of guys, though, who don't get talked about. You know, we talk about Calais Campbell and the two pass rushers. Aaron Colvin is playing as well, if not better, than every other slot corner in pro football right now.
Well, and as you were about to ask the question, I was thinking you've got sort of a swinging door in a sense where in base, Paul Posadzny plays middle linebacker, and he's on the field a certain number of plays. And in nickel, you get Aaron Colvin coming in. Both of those guys, Paul's been in a Pro Bowl. Aaron Colvin is perfectly capable of playing an outside corner. My guess is he'll play outside corner for somebody next year and play at a very high level, and has first-round talent. Probably would have been a first-round pick if he not hurt his knee. talking about a nickel guy doing this and playing at a phenomenal level and doing what you always saw glimpses of in his first 3 years. I wrote at some point this week in the Ozone, I was talking about the fact that Colvin might be gone next year, which, you know,
I think
because of his contract.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys you have to pay.
But I enjoy Aaron because he's a smart kid. When you talk to him, he gives thoughtful answers. He's self-aware. He's mature. The work ethic. But above that, his, I don't say willingness, but I've never sensed any resentment on his part that he's not starting on the outside. And people can say, well, you shouldn't because of the team. But this is the NFL. Guys want to start on the outside. They want to be the guy. He burns to be the guy. But within the context of this, he's doing his job at such a high level and is fitting into his role, knows he's a big part of it. You know, one for Aaron Colvin because that kid is a player.
How about Malik Jackson? We talk again so much about what Darius has brought to the run defense.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, if you go back and watch the game, he wore out Kevin Zeitler, who the mm-hmm. Browns paid $12 million a year for. That's the biggest check they've written on their offensive line, and he wore him out. And you know what? Doug Marrone said earlier this week that since Darius has arrived, Avery Jones has played better. I mean, you've got some guys that are not pointed to and said, wow, look what he does.
Yep.
Guys like Calais, Yannick, and Talvin Smith, and Jalen, and Boye. This defense is loaded with guys who do their job and flash when they need to.
Well, it's become a, you know, I have a feeling in 5 or 6 years when we're really senior moments, we'll be sitting here going, I remember the 2017 defense, Brian.
Well, because it goes away fast.
Well, and that's one of those things that, you know, when you look back, you'll look back on it as a, boy, what a perfect storm. And everything complements the other. Darius comes in, and all of a sudden Malik, who's the prototypical three-technique tackle, can go do that. You got Avery Jones, so you have depth. You have Calais Campbell who can fill a role, et cetera, et cetera.
How about Juwan Smoot, the rookie from Illinois, has played meaningful snaps and played pretty well from what I hear.
Who they think is going to be, you know, he's exactly what you want from a third-round pick.
Yeah.
Meaning, in years past, Smoot's playing too much because you had
now.
To play him. Now he's playing the perfect amount, and you can easily see him in 2 years being a guy who steps in and everybody goes, oh, how come nobody ever talked about Dwayne Smoot? Well, there hadn't been room to talk about Dwayne Smoot. But you've got 11 guys who are all functioning together, able to play their roles. And what's interesting, and I did this story for Jaguars.com last week, you really do get a feeling, as much as players in this day and age are motivated by money and individual fame, these guys like playing together. You're on the sidelines. I assume you see it a lot more than I do.
Oh,
the absolute joy they have and the real joy when somebody else makes a play. I think back to the Telvin Smith interception in Pittsburgh that sort of turned this season around looking back. And there's a blurry vision. I think it was shot by one of our guys. I forget their names, our guys, DeCandis or something. You know, I'm not sure who those guys are.
There's a guy named Max that works here. I think maybe he has a camera.
But when Telvin made that pick, you saw a blurry image of Boye's hands in the air. Now, you can't fake that.
Nope.
He was, you know, and I think Boye would have probably had the pick if Telvin hadn't stepped in front of it. And that ought to happen, but that just stuck out at me of, boy, these guys really do pull for each other. It truly is a one-direction thing where they're all on the same page.
So a couple of examples from the sidelines to give color to what you're saying. The first is, Jalen Ramsey is your typical Deion Sanders-esque corner,
mm-hmm.
right? Talks about how good he is, beats on his chest. We all heard what he said about A.J.
Doesn't
Green.
Love it when he doesn't have a pick.
That's
but he's
true.
Okay.
That's true. However, when A.J. Boye gets a pick,
absolutely.
There is pure joy in his eye. And he's the first guy, and he did it in London for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and he's hitting him in the chest and says, you're the best corner in the NFL. Now, wait. That's Jalen
right.
Ramsey, who believes
right.
he's the best corner, and he is giving the credit and saying, you're the best corner.
And I don't mind saying, Brian, that
he's not missing.
I sort of wondered about that when Boye first came in. You wondered if Jalen – I thought he probably would, but it was a legitimate question on whether he would or not. And to your point exactly, boy, has he, and I don't know that every elite cover corner would take that approach.
No, and in the fourth quarter last week, I distinctly remember the snow was coming, the wind was coming down. It was a 6-point ball game. Maybe it was only a 3-point ball game at that moment. But as the defense was going back out and they had the Browns backed up, Telvin Smith was hopping like he does, you know, mm-hmm. all hyped up, and he hops in the general direction of Todd Wash, and he goes, we'll be back in less than a minute. And he turned to the offense. He goes, you'll have the ball back in less than a minute. And sure enough, three plays, they're out. Here comes Telvin. I told you.
Right.
That's what we do.
It's a frenzy.
Energy level that they play with and that they are on the sidelines together with. And here's the other thing that people don't see, but I do. They go up and down the sideline, and they challenge one another. Malik mm-hmm. is down there with the safeties. You know, Miles Jack is up talking to Marion Hobby, the defensive line coach. They are constantly communicating about where the responsibilities are and what they've seen. It is a unique group of men.
And it feels like you're in the middle of something, and it's so hard to put into words, but they're still incredibly into seeing their own possibility, if you will. I didn't enunciate that very well, but I don't think they know yet how good they can be. They know they can be great.
That's scary that you're even saying that they haven't reached their potential the way that they're playing this
year. That's what it feels like each week when these guys come in, they can't wait to see if they can get it to another level. And you say, oh, getting better, the old cliche.
Five defensive touchdowns.
But that's how it feels. Yeah. And when you tell stories like that on the sidelines, that's they're in the middle of something. And I don't think they've found where they're going yet. And that's interesting.
In Houston on opening day, if he said it once, he said it 100 times, Calais Campbell said, this is our standard.
Right.
He was saying it to the defensive linemen. By the time we got to London, he was selling the standard to everyone. And now all of them are carrying that.
Right.
And, hey, we saw in where were we? Were we in Indy? We were in Indy.
Right.
Where Telvin and Aaron Colvin got crossways with one another mm-hmm. after a long play down the sideline to Marlon Mack. They were mad at each other because they had let the other one down. Now, they hold it to a completely different level. This group is good. Now, here's my question. Because I keep reading and hearing from the national types, I don't completely trust this Jaguars team yet. In other words, they're waiting for this team mm-hmm. to not implode. The defense is too good for that. But they're waiting to see them take a winnable game and let it get away from them. Do you trust this team? Because I will tell you, I do. Strangely, I trust this team with the schedule that's in front of them to get to the division title.
Yeah, I trust it over the long haul, over, if you think back, a 4-game winning streak, final 6 games, over a 10-game stretch. I trust it to win a whole lot more than it loses. I don't know that I trust it with this offense. I think it's fair to wonder when the oh no game is, because when you don't pull away, then one mistake, even against the Browns the other day, you didn't think it was going to happen, but in that game, one mistake at 13-7, one guy slips in the snow and all of a sudden you lose the game. So that gives you a small margin for error. You're always going to be holding your breath when you play games like that, but over the course of time in the NFL, what you look for is, what can I take with me wherever I go, and it's going to be the best unit on the field. In most games the rest of the way, the Jaguars' defense will be the most dictating unit on the field, and that's why over 6 games, I think they win 4 or 5.
Final thought. Look at the final 6 games. At Arizona, Indy, Seattle, Texas here, at San Francisco, at Tennessee. Which of those games gives you the greatest concern for an oh no game?
Oh, Seattle and Tennessee, because they're, if you put all 6 quarterbacks in a bucket and said, which ones would you like to have, you'd pick out Russell Wilson and Marcus Mariota. So those are the ones that, as great as this defense is, the big time quarterbacks can find your one or two mistakes that you make in a game and take advantage of it. So those are the two that scare you. This one Sunday scares you because the Cardinals have 3 or 4 elite level talents: Patrick Peterson, Matthew, Larry Fitzgerald.
Only one on the offense, though.
They're playing at home, and they have a 3-game winning streak. They're 4-6. This is their last swing, so I don't think it's going to be easy. I think they win. I don't think it's going to be easy. So this one scares you, but not as much as those two that I just talked about.
This one doesn't scare me as much. I mean, they only have Fitzgerald on the offensive side, mm-hmm. and I watched. And they had a short field with a throw, the rookie tight end. It's Blaine Gabbert, okay? So Their guys on defense, don't get me wrong, are very, very talented.
Right.
I see this defense being able to dictate the tempo. The one that gets me, it isn't Tennessee either, by the way. I watched Mariota throw four interceptions, and I was largely unimpressed
right.
and have been with him. He had a pretty good third quarter here, but it's Seattle.
Sure.
And I watched them on Monday night against Atlanta this week. And they're down 21-7, and their defense isn't whole. And they don't really have a strong running game now. And yet the Russell Wilson factor comes into mm-hmm. play, and he's running around, and as he's running and spinning and twisting and turning, he seems to see. It's like his head is on a gyroscope. The body turns, the head never stops looking downfield,
right.
and he makes throws. He gave him a chance with 7 seconds left to tie the game. Now, they didn't. 52-yard field goal fell short. That's the one where I wonder if he doesn't have just something that this team hasn't seen, and
I think
maybe
he does,
makes a play.
And we're way ahead of ourselves. I know we got about a minute left here. Get a couple of wins, go into that still feeling good about yourself. What an epic storyline it's going to be, because this is the defense that thinks it's going to be Seattle now, this Jaguars defense. And that game is going to be this team's chance. Goodness knows, let it go in healthy. And you talk about a fever, you talk about playing with crazy eyes.
Yeah.
That's what this Jaguars defense will be that day.
Before we sign off, what will you eat too much of on Thursday?
Whatever's in front of me.
So you'll just be a glutton?
Yeah, not beets. I'm not a big beet guy. You know,
Who has beets on Thanksgiving?
Isn't that the red thing that...
You mean cranberries?
Nah, there's beets. Isn't there beets on the
Turn
the table
your mic
thing?
On, Joe. Beets? Is that an Italian thing? Are you Italian?
It's not an Italian thing.
You had beets on Thanksgiving? I never have, because I just laugh at the beets, but...
Cranberries.
Yeah, I don't... I didn't feel like that's what I
If it's red, saying. You won't eat it. That's what you're saying.
I don't mind cranberries. Just beets. I mean, it comes out of a can. It's just sitting there all, you know, jiggling.
Joe,
cranberries.
You're an Italian guy. You live it. You like red stuff. What will you eat on Thanksgiving that no one else will eat?
Oh, there isn't anything.
There's no Italian tradition that you'll pull out for this?
No. No, I'll just eat everything. So, I'm with Johnny. Whatever's in front of me.
Okay.
Even if there's beets.
Even if there's beets.
Although beets and Thanksgiving, I just don't see
You don't discriminate against any food on the table in front of you.
Oh, no.
Well-made stuffing is the key.
There you go.
To, if it's bad stuffing, then it ruins it because it's too dry and you got to like mix those jiggly beets in there.
Since I know neither one of you ever ventures into the kitchen, do your significant others understand this? Do they know how you like it?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter, but they know.
Yes, exactly. They know, and who cares?
Happy Thanksgiving, Joe.
You too,
Thanks
brother.
For joining us on the show.
Johnny.
And you as well.
And to you, John. And that'll do it for Senior Moments. Talk to you next week.